Okay, this week is Parshas Ki Savo. Parshas Ki Savo I'll tell you two main themes. Number one is, and you heard this before, it has the mitzvah of Bikurim, the mitzvah of bringing the first fruits, the first edible fruits of the tree. You bring it to Yerushalayim, and it discusses the whole process. And then at the end of the parasha, we have what's called the Tochacha. The Tochacha is the curses that will happen if we don't keep them. Maybe we'll get to it soon. If we don't do what we're supposed to be doing. The Gemara says that on purpose, we read the Tochacha before Rosh Hashanah, in the weeks leading up to Rosh Hashanah, close to Rosh Hashanah, and the Gemara has a phrase, Tichla Hashanah V'kila Loseha, that the year and all the bad things that happen during the year should come to an end, and we say, Tachel Hashanah U'berchasa, a new year should start, and we should get off to a good start and a positive start, and that's what we're hoping for. All the tragedies, anything that happened over the past year, not to forget about them, but hopefully it's the end of the bad, and we're going to start with the good. Kind of like the first day of the season when you're tied for first place and you think that you have a chance of making the playoffs. That's what Judah's thinking right now, right? Correct? Okay, so here we go. I want to share two ideas from this week's parsha. The first one comes from the mitzvah of Bikurim. The pasuk says, you say the words, Perchavav, this is pasuk, Yud, Vata, and now hine hevesius reishis pri adama. I have brought the reishis pri adama, the beginning of the fruits of the ground. Asher nasata li Hashem, that Hashem has given me. Now, even though not maybe on a technical level, maybe this isn't exactly what it means, but the words indicate that the pasuk is telling us, we have brought the reishis pri adama, which is what Hashem has given me, as if this is what Hashem has given me. Now the question is, and again, that's not the simple understanding of the pasuk, so the question is not necessarily a pshat question, but perhaps we could try to gain a deeper understanding of what does it mean as if to represent the basket of fruits that you bring to Yerushalayim, to the Kohen, as if this is what Hashem gave me. What do you mean this is what Hashem gave me? Hashem gave me an orchard full of apples. Apples upon apples upon apples, trees upon trees upon trees in a huge field. Can you pass them the popcorn? I think they need it. Okay? A huge field full of apples. And they put it, and you bring one little basket, and you bring it, and you say, Hashem, this is the fruit that you gave me. What do you mean, this is the fruit that you gave me? This is like a nil, a nothing, a tiny bit of all the apples that you have growing in your orchard. So I want to tell you a pshat from the Sefer Drash Mordechai, I'm holding it in front of me, a beautiful pshat in the name, he quotes in the name of Rav Shlomko Zviller, who was a Magid in Eretz Yisrael, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So he says the following, there's a Mishnah in Shabbos. The Mishnah in Shabbos says, Paroso shel Rav Elazar ben Azariah, the cow of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, it used to travel with some type of string or something between its horns. Shalom beretzon chachamim, and the chachamim were not happy that this cow, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow, was going out like that. Okay, so the Gemara says, "What do you mean, cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah?" We learned the Gemara last year. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there were three requirements to become the nasi. If you're in eighth grade, one of those requirements, he had to be rich, right? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was fully loaded, as they say. He was quite wealthy. The Gemara asks, "V'chada para havile?" What do you mean he had one cow? V'hamar Rav, Amri lo Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. This is Gemara in Shabbos. Tresar alfei egle have ma'aser. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah me'edrei kol shasa v'shasa. His ma'aser, that means a tenth of his animals, was tresar alfei egle. 12,000 cattle was his ma'aser of the new animals that were born from his flock. We're not talking about like comfortable here. We're talking about astronomical wealth. The Gemara is telling us he was astronomically wealthy. And yet, when the Mishnah refers to it, again, the Mishnah doesn't say he only had one cow, but it refers to the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? One smidgen of a fraction of a percentage of the cows of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And the Gemara goes on to say, not only that, but guess what? This cow wasn't even his cow. The one cow that you thought, the Mishnah says his cow, it wasn't even his cow. The Gemara says, you know whose cow it was? It was his neighbor's cow. It was his neighbor's cow, and his neighbor used to bring this cow out into public with a little string hanging on between the horns, and the Chachamim weren't happy about it. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had an opportunity to say something to the neighbor and say, you know, I don't think that's good. That's the right thing to do. And he didn't protest. He didn't say anything. He let them do it, even though it was the wrong thing to do. He stood idly by, and he let it go. Okay. Now he adds, there's a discussion in the Yerushalmi, talking about this Mishnah. What does the Talmud Yerushalmi say? One time, the teeth of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became very black because he was fasting so much. Why was he fasting so much? To do tshuva. For this one avera that he didn't even commit. But he played a passive role. He could have made a difference. He played a passive role. Okay. And the Yerushalmi references, it's from this cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which wasn't really his cow, it was his neighbor's cow. And from that, he did so much tshuva. He did so much tshuva, he did so much fasting for tshuva. When you fast, your body doesn't get nutrients, so your teeth. The Gemara mentions cases of people who suffered from the amount of fasting that they did. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, similarly, his teeth turned black because he didn't get the vitamins and minerals that his body needed to stay healthy. And that was because he was fasting for this one avera. So Rav Shlomka Zviller, putting this all together, came to answer the question of why the Mishnah calls it his cow. If he had thousands and thousands, well, really, no, hundreds of thousands of cows every year were born into his flock, which probably means he had millions of cows. Now, if you consider the fact, I think a few years ago, we made a calculation of how much a cow, it was a few thousand dollars for a cow. So if you have a few million cows and each one is worth a few thousand dollars, you do the math, that's billions of dollars. Okay? Billion. He's a billionaire, and yet the Mishnah refers to him having one cow. Rafonka Zviller says, yeah, he did have one cow. You know why? Because guess what? Emuna, listen to this beautiful lesson. Listen to this. He had one cow because 2019, what's left of his flock? Does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is he still rich? The answer is no, he's not alive anymore. I mean, the Gemara says Tzadikim are still alive, his teachings are alive. We open up a Gemara, you open up a Mishnah, you get to learn one-on-one with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But where are his cows? The answer is they're all gone. Your financial wealth, which is important, it's an important thing, but it's not going to stay with you. When we read the Mishnah, Paras Shor Elazar ben Azariah, you know what the Mishnah is coming to tell us? Rav Shlomka Zviller said, he still owns that cow. Because that cow serves for him as a zechus. Because he used it, and he did a mitzvah. He had originally done something he should have protested, but he did tshuva and he turned it around. So that cow was an impetus for him to come closer to Hashem. That cow stays with him forever. The cows that he owned, which were his portfolio, his financial portfolio, his investments, nothing remains of that. That is all temporary. You might have it for a few decades. Eventually you leave this world. Hopefully your kids get it and they're able to have financial stability. Eventually that runs out and it's gone. It's gone forever. Nobody else benefits. Nobody in this world benefits from the fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had so many cows. It's over. But the one cow that he used for a mitzvah stays with him forever. And that's what Rav Druck, the Drash Mordechai, that's what he says is pshat in this pasuk. Okay? The pasuk says, V'atahine evesias reishis pri adama asher nesata li, the beginning of the fruits of the field that you gave me. He says it's the same thing with Bikurim. You bring a basket to Hashem. These are the apples that you gave me. These are the apples that you gave me. Those are the apples that you still have. Long after your apples are either rotten or eaten or sold or whatever it is, and you don't have those apples anymore, the apples that were in the basket that you brought to Yerushalayim as Bikurim are yours forever. You get to keep them forever. Your money, in your wallet, out of your wallet, but your zechuyos, your mitzvos, when you use something to do a mitzvah, then it's with you forever. So if, you know, people who are really interested in long-term investments, right? You look into the stock market, take what you have and do mitzvahs with it. Give tzedakah. Do chesed. You have a few hours on Sunday, look for something that you could do to make the world a better place. Daven. all the things that you do, those are the things that you're going to keep that are going to be forever. Whether your team, I'm not telling you not to watch a football game. Enjoy if you like football, if you like baseball. Some of you are lucky enough to have a team that's going to be in the playoffs, and others not so much, right? Enjoy. I'm not telling you not to enjoy. But realize, you want to invest in eternity? Invest in Torah and mitzvot. Invest in tefillah. And if you do that, if you invest in those things stay with you forever. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah still is holding on to that one cow. Out of all the cows, he's holding on to that one cow because that cow was a vehicle, pun intended, that brought him closer to brought him closer to Hashem. That's idea number one. Idea number two, yeah.
Wouldn't he donate like a good stack of more of his cows?
You're right. In fact, it's just a pshat. In fact, we said 12,000 cows he gave to Meiser.
Right. What was wrong You're with right. the cow in the first place? That cow that he needed to...
Yeah, what's so much of a
It was about an animal goat carrying something outside. The Mishnah and Shav, that's Bameh Behemah Yotze. That was a whole discussion about what the cow is allowed to go out with your cow, whether it's allowed to carry things outside. And the Mishnah and the Gemara has a whole discussion there on Shabbos.
Like an Avodah Zarah?
No. I think it had to do with cows carrying on Shabbos. It's Daf Nun Dalet and Nun Zayin, something like that. It's a short perek. We don't have cows, so for us, halacha l'maisa, it's not as relevant. Okay, but it's a good... Ethan, you're making a good point. In other words, what we say, Minei Ubei, from his pshat, it's a pshat. The question he's asking is, but he gave 12,000 every year, 12,000 cows to Tzedakah. So of course that those 12,000 cows...
Benefit doesn't wind up benefiting everyone else necessarily. It doesn't exist anymore.
But you used it for a mitzvah. You gave Meiser. I would say yes. In other words, the Mishnah is trying to prove a point. You know, the pshat is to prove a point that your mitzvah stay with you forever. Of course he had those other cows as well. But again, only the ones that he used to do a mitzvah.
Right.
But I definitely hear the kasha. I was thinking about the kasha as I was telling it to you. I'm like,
you give money to the Tzedakah, does that money also stay with you?
That money's with you forever, 100%. Okay, now I want to go to the Tochacha. The Tochacha, the Pasuk says, after all the terrible things that are going to happen, the Pasuk says, I think I mentioned this before, I never know when I mentioned it, if I mentioned it 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago. So it's, when I was looking over the parsha, this is something... A very important lesson. So the pasuk says that all these things that are happening, tachas eshelo avadato es Hashem elokecha, it's because you don't serve Hashem, your God, besimcha uvetuv levav, with happiness and good-heartedness. You don't serve Hashem with happiness and good-heartedness. Let's make a deal. Let's make an inference from the pasuk. The pasuk didn't say these things are happening because you're doing averos, or because you're not doing the mitzvos. That's not why. The pasuk is saying, you know what happens? Because you serve Hashem. Yeah. You do the mitzvos, but you don't do it happily. You're not excited to shake the lulav. You're not looking forward to doing tshuva on Yom Kippur, to blowing a shofar, to lighting Hanukkah candles. You're not excited to make kiddush. You're not happy about it. You didn't do tachas eshelo avadata Hashem alkecha b'simcha v'tuvah. You didn't do it happily. It doesn't say you didn't do it. You did do it. You did the mitzvah, but you weren't happy about it. So the question, and a lot of the Mefarshim ask, I understand, you did the mitzvah and you weren't happy with it. Okay. That's so terrible. All these curses are, you mean for people who shook lulav and just were not so excited about it? For that, we deserve a curse? I understand if you want to tell me you don't do any mitzvahs and you just spend all your day doing averos, that yeah, Hashem wants to punish you because you're not listening to Him. But here, listen, you wrote a book of law, I read your book, nice book, well done, and I keep the laws. You want me to be happy about it too? And Hashem says, yeah, if you're not happy about it, you're going to get all these terrible curses. Why is that? So, a lot of answers. Share one with you. Rav Shimshon Pinkus. Rav Shimshon Pinkus gives a mashal.
Oh, he's good.
He's the best. Rav Shimshon Pinkus says, the mashal is, a boy is a man gives a boy a bag. He says, there's something in this bag. It's heavy, okay? Bring it home, and you can keep it. But you have to carry it home. And you have to transport it. I'm not doing it for you. So he says, okay, I guess if I'm going to get something out of it, I'll do it. Okay, I don't know what it is. He puts the bag on his shoulders, and he starts walking. He's like, oh my gosh, this thing is so heavy. This thing is, He's like, oh, this is killing me. And he starts to walk. He's like, but you know what? It's going to be mine. So he walks a few steps. And then a few more steps, and he's like, I'm not going to make it home. And he finally gets to the end of one block, and he tries to think, maybe I can make it at least across the street. And he's like, you look at his face, it's like, this is awful, this is terrible. Oh my gosh. And an old man sees him and comes over and says, young boy, are you okay? And he says, well, I thought I was, but this guy, he gave me this stuff, and he filled the bag, and he told me it's mine, but I have to carry it home. And I said, sure, why not? And I put it on my shoulder, and it's so heavy, and it's like weighing me down, and I'm trying, but it's hard, and it's so heavy, and I can't do it. And the man said, do you know what's in the bag? Did you look in the bag? He says, no, I just took his word for it, that whatever, I don't know. Bricks? I have no idea what it is. So he's like, well, why don't you look inside at least to see if it's like, it might not be worth it for you to keep on carrying it. Maybe it's garbage and you want to just leave it here. So he opens the bag and he sees bars of gold stacked one on top of the other. He sees the gold. His face lights up. I didn't realize I was carrying gold. Thanks for such a good point. Thank you so much. You changed my day. Now he puts it back on his shoulder. Is it heavy? Yeah, it's heavy. But you know what? It's worth it. So with a big smile on his face, he goes step by step. And he slowly makes his way home. What's the difference?
If you're happy about it, you'll do it.
If you're happy about it, that means that you know what you're doing. A person who does the mitzvahs and he's not happy, he's like the boy who's schlepping the bag and he's suffering. He's becoming a martyr. And he doesn't even realize what he's doing. But when you realize mitzvahs are in your bag, you're going to shake lulav. Hashem said, I want you today to shake the lulav and the esrog and the hadasim and the aravos. It's like a bar of gold. Who wouldn't want to carry a bar of gold? Is it so easy? No, okay, it's annoying. You have to carry it to shul. You have to make sure not to, like, you know, poke anybody with it. Or sometimes people try to poke people with it. That's a different story, right? But you have to make sure that the tip doesn't split. You know, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is an easy day. Yom Kippur is not an easy day. You're in shul. You're fasting. The Gemara says it's the happiest day of the year. By the way, I have to tell you, I have to be totally honest with you. I know somebody who always says Yom Kippur is his happiest day of the year. He's in shul, and he said he's always busy. And he's not like a guy who just like sits and learns all day. He's busy. He's busy with life. He's busy with this. He's busy with that. On Yom Kippur, he sits in shul, nothing else going on, beautiful tunes, he gets to connect to Hashem. Yeah, so he's fasting. But you know what you're gaining? By the way, as you get older, you'll appreciate this, but the fasting, if you weren't fasting, Yom Kippur wouldn't be the same. People are distraught when, if somebody, God forbid, is sick and they can't fast. People have an emotionally hard time with it, that a Jew would eat on Yom Kippur. No, I'm not talking about when you're young and you're coming of age. I'm talking about grown adults who either are older and they can't fast, or they're sick and the doctor said they can't fast. It's hard. A Jew not to fast is a hard thing. Yom Kippur, is it a hard day? Yeah, it's a hard day. Is it a beautiful day? Yeah. Is it the happiest day of the year? Yeah. Is it a gold bar? It's platinum. Platinum's higher than gold, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It's platinum. It's the greatest gift we ever got. That all the mistakes that you made, you just take an eraser and go, shh. Yeah, I mean, that's oversimplifying the day. But if you look at what a special, beautiful opportunity it is, you're going to be like that boy who realizes, oh my gosh, I have no idea. I'm holding bars of gold. When you realize that, it changes your whole outlook. A person who keeps all the mitzvos, but he's upset about it, he's like that little boy. He has no idea what he has. And guess what? After a certain point, you're like, forget it. I can't go on anymore. I'm getting rid of this. So when you keep the mitzvos and you're not excited about it, you're not happy about it, I don't know how long it's going to stay with you. But when you realize, look how special every mitzvah is, look how happy I am and excited to do the mitzvos, then you realize I'm carrying bars of gold. And when you know that you're carrying bars of gold, that's the greatest madriga. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you.
What did you post last week?